I've recently started watching soccer, specifically the English Premier League, since it's included in the Peacock subscription that I steal from a friend. I watch replays of last week's matches, so no spoiler alerts if you woke up this morning and watched something. And since I've been to northeastern England the most, and I'm going back next month, I've chosen Newcastle United as my side. Also, it didn't hurt that their mascot is a bird. So a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the Magpies of Newcastle face off against the Hammerheads of West Ham, and we were losing 3-1, 75 minutes into a 90-minute game. And I'm still a casual fan at best. I mean, I still say soccer. And when the scoreline stays the same for too long, or it starts to appear like the writing is on the wall, that Newcastle will win or lose without that much more excitement, I get a little itchy. I start to think about just like looking up the final score, assuming that it's not going to be that different from what it is right now. Look it up, save myself 15 minutes. Actually, even when things are tight, when it's a good game, I can start feeling that way, maybe even more so. I want the tension relieved, the anxiety dispelled. I want a shortcut. Just tell me what ended up happening so I don't have to go through all the ups and downs, chew off my remaining fingernails. So a couple weeks ago, Magpies down 3-1 and looking pretty lifeless, I went for it. No reason to see it out. I'd wasted enough time watching the last hour and 15 minutes. So I Googled the score, expecting that if anything, things were just going to go further in the wrong direction. But that is not what happened. Instead, what I saw was that Newcastle, down 3-1 with 15 minutes to go, was going to end up winning 3-4, scoring three goals in a 13-minute span to complete an epic comeback, and I had just ruined it. Just missed the best part, the reason I had watched the other hour and 15 minutes of the game. I turned the game back on and I watched it happen. And it was impressive to see a penalty in minute 77, and then two scores in rapid succession with somebody who had just come in off the bench. But it wasn't the same as if I had waited, if I'd been patient, if I didn't hit, it didn't hit with the same force as if I had just kept watching. Bored, defeated, hopeless. Only to see it all turn around in an instant. The sudden hope when things get close, the disbelief at seeing them fight to a draw, and then the elation when they pull ahead and hold on to win it. I skipped to the end and I missed it all. Maybe you've been there in that itchy place. Anxiety creeping up, unsure what's going to happen next. Well, not just next, but what's going to happen ultimately, finally. How's it all going to turn out? Maybe you've been in a relationship that has hit a bump and you're not sure which direction things are headed, or still waiting for a relationship you're not sure is coming. Maybe you're starting a new job or looking for a new job. Maybe you're parenting a child, about to have surgery. Maybe you're nearing death, starting a journey of recovery, starting a friendship, or starting all over in a new place and wondering, where is this going? Or is it going anywhere? And when will it get there? And how will I feel about it when it does? Will it all turn out to have been worth it? Or am I just wasting my time? If only you could know, if only you could take a shortcut and skip to the end already and avoid all of these ups and downs. That's where that community of 2 Peter is. That itchy place, I say the community of 2 Peter because we don't know who this letter was written to, just some unnamed church. We also don't know who wrote the letter. The only thing we can be pretty sure of is it wasn't Peter, like despite his name being attached to it. In fact, we can be pretty sure that when it was written, Peter was already dead. Because that's what that letter is about. Not Peter's death specifically, but his whole generation. The people who were there, who knew Jesus. They were dying, or maybe all dead by this point. And the people who were left, the second generation of Christians, they thought that the game would have been over by now. The writing was on the wall. All the things that Jesus had said about the realm of God coming, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' death and resurrection, just the fact that Jesus had lived at all, like that God had come to earth, surely that meant that things were wrapping up. Fans were headed to the exits to be the first out of the parking lot. It was over. And then it wasn't. The whistle still hadn't blown. And here's where the soccer analogy breaks down. Because in life, you don't know what the score is. You never know. Are we winning or losing? You never know if it's all slowly adding up to something bigger or if it will just slip through your fingers at the last moment. This community that not Peter is writing to, they've bought into this story that God is love, that death has been defeated. They've been drawn into a community over it. And they're living life in a certain way together, making sacrifices to care for each other, to love one another and their neighbors and their enemies. And it's hard work, and it means missing out on something else. It means missing out on lots of other things. But they're willing to do it because they've been told that there are only a few minutes left and their side is winning. And then suddenly it's not clear. Things stretch on. The people that brought them in start to die and they start to feel itchy to wonder, is it worth it? And there are voices in their community that say no, that say it's not going to happen, that say they are wasting their time. The letter says that those voices, they've come scoffing and saying, where is the promise of Jesus' coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're saying, give up. Pack it in. You've wasted enough time as it is. Maybe you've been there. Tired of waiting. Tired of wondering if this relationship can change. If this career is right. If this artistic project will turn out any good. If the surgery will be successful and the pain will be less, if you can stay sober, if democracy can be saved, if the world can be at peace, if you are really on a path to healing or growth or new life. Just give up, the voices in 2 Peter's community say. And people are starting to take them up on it. They're packing it in, which is one way to skip to the ending. Just control it yourself. Declare it a loss and move on. Disengage. And the hard thing is, sometimes that's the right answer. The relationship needs to end, or the career isn't panning out, or the project is a failure, the growth is illusory. You're wasting your time. Sometimes your team is losing 3-1 with 15 minutes left and they go on to drop 2 more goals and it would have been better just to turn it off and go outside. And the thing is, you can never know which game you're watching. Everything we ever do in life is an act of faith, a bet that we make with our lives 15 minutes at a time. Hoping that it will turn out to have been worth it. And the author of 2 Peter is telling his community, it will turn out to have been worth it. He tells them there's two kinds of waiting, two ways in which time can drag on. There's slowness and there's patience. He tells them the Lord is not slow about their promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Slowness, he says, is just a delay, things stretching out for no reason. Patience is waiting while something happens. Patience is allowing something to emerge in its own time. And if you're feeling cheated because this was supposed to be a sermon about moss, and it turned out to be a sermon about soccer, we're getting to the moss. In her book, Gathering Moss, Robin Wall Kimmerer tells the story of being hired as a moss expert by some private estate. The invitation to her was to be part of some kind of ecological restoration, a massive native garden to be made in complete balance, including the moss. When she got there, however, what she found was a golf course with huge boulders that had been blown out of some hillside recently. And the wealthy homeowner didn't like the look of them. They looked new, like they had just been blown out of some hillside. He wanted them to look old, like they'd been there forever. Moss covered, the way that they would look on a 100-year-old golf course in Scotland. And Kimmerer had to break the bad news. That's not how moss works. Moss is a slow growth species, particularly the mosses in that area, the ones that the man wanted, that thick carpet of green that he imagined. To have any significant growth on those rocks was going to take decades. And that's only once it got established, because it wasn't going to happen on those newly cut rocks. They were far too slippery for moss to find a hold. It would take years, she told him, just for the rocks to weather and crack, to be roughed up enough by weather that a spore could settle in and sprout. To cover these rocks, if he were lucky, might only take a century or two. There's no way to get a 100-year-old moss, she told him, except to wait for 100 years. Not slowness, but patience. Not Peter tells his people, you are a slow growth species. And despite what you may have heard, there is no shortcut. There is no way to skip ahead. Yes, you could quit, but even that is a bet, an act of faith. The only way to celebrate a 50th anniversary is to be married for 50 years with all that that entails. And for that matter, the only way to find that happy second marriage is to live through the end of the first. The only way to know where a career will lead is to follow it. The only way to know if an artwork will be any good is to make it as good as you're able. Your child, your children will continue to stubbornly grow one day at a time. You won't know if your death is a good death until you are there. And in the meantime, there is just so much anxiety, such an itch to know. But, he says, have patience. The time is not wasted. A little after the section we read, he tells them, regard the patience of God as salvation. Yes, it's true that we're not there yet, that it's taking longer than we expected. It doesn't always feel like we're making progress, but the time is not empty. Something is happening. Something is growing. We are being saved 15 minutes at a time. all the anxiety, all the pain, all the joy, the ups and downs, the places where life has roughed us up and left scars, and the seeds that God has planted in them. It is adding up to something. The people we were meant to be, God grows them in us slowly. Not slowly, but patiently. Day by day, sometimes a day that feels like 1,000 years. There is no other way, no way to see how it all ends except to go through the middle, to itch, to be anxious, to wonder and doubt and have faith and doubt and faith until the promise comes through. You can only find the meaning in a lifetime by living a lifetime. But even if you could skip ahead, if there were a button to push, a search to make, to find out the final scoreline, it would ruin it. The unexpected turnarounds, the hope, the disbelief, the elation, this is not wasted time. Something is happening. Even if you could take a shortcut, you would miss the best part.